You're listening to the Fourth Wall Comics Podcast, episode 21, recorded July 22nd, 2012. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Fourth Wall Comics Podcast, episode 21. I'm Jesse.
And I am Freddie.
And we are here to talk about The Walking Dead again. Because, you see, we've recorded this podcast already, but you're never going to hear that version. Because something happened to the audio recording.
You can't stop us. We're like zombies. We keep coming back.
Even a baseball bat named Lucille cannot stop us
from putting out this podcast and inserting it into your ear holes.
So, yeah.
Here to celebrate, I guess.
I mean, issue 100 is a big deal for any comic to reach issue 100. The media has kind of died down since now. A lot of stuff has been going on in the news that, like, I guess the 100th issue of Walking Dead isn't that big of a deal anymore. But, I mean, let's dial it back a week when it was a big deal.
10 plus covers.
Oh, do you have the numbers still of how much? It sold a lot. Like, it was the
350,000, I believe, something like
that.
The
highest selling issue comic ever, right?
If not ever, then at least in the past 10 years.
That's 10 years, that's right. I think that someone said that in an article.
Exact number is 383,612. So I bought two of those. So if it wasn't for me, it'd be 610.
So, right.
Welcome.
There you go. And I guess mine, so is that 11 then?
That would be 609.
Excuse me. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. Of course, a lot of media hype around it, especially because of the TV show. I think it got a lot more attention than it would have. I mean, issue 100 is a big deal to comic book fans, but it wouldn't have sold as well if it wasn't for the success of the TV show.
Yeah, I actually got to go to one of the midnight releases that they had. If you go to, I think it's Walking Dead 100, they set up like a website just for issue 100, and it has a listing of every comic shop that did the Tuesday night midnight release of this issue, which I went to not because I wasn't even caught up at that time. I actually bought it without – I was about 5 or 6 issues behind. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of scared because I thought people, once I got there, you know, at like 11:30, everyone's going to be talking about – oh, what's going to happen in 100? Because I had heard the hoopla, like, this is going to be the most brutal issue. You know, this is going to be – if you think the things that have happened before this were hardcore, wait till you see what we do in issue 100. So I've been, like, trying to avoid as, you know, much about the story as possible.
Yeah.
And it was a very interesting atmosphere because you could tell a lot of people that were there were just there because of the TV show. I even had one guy say to me, eventually these can put my kids through college. And I almost laughed in his face. I'm like, are you kidding?
You should have. You would have done him a huge favor. This is like the mentality of the same thing with Death of Superman. Remember, like, way back then, like, everyone was buying up that issue with the black cover and shit. But because so many was sold and manufactured, it's not collectible. People seem to miss that concept of collecting. But anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah, with issue 100, of course, a lot of talk about the release. But with the issue itself, leading up to it, when you break it down in the actual story, with Walking Dead, the story was feeling kind of stagnant. And I know that we had a lot of predictions, actually, for this issue. The last time we talked about Walking Dead, we came up with predictions of what the 100th issue should do or what it could be. And I think we were all wrong, if I remember correctly. None of us guessed what would happen, where it'd be a very typical, boring event that would happen.
I think we guessed time jump was one, natural disaster was another.
That's my favorite, yeah.
I think Art said they will just set up a peaceful environment.
Oh,
would have been the furthest from the truth.
And it would have been actually a lot better, probably, anyway.
I think the absolute best, though, was if we could somehow have a natural disaster, like a tornado or something, and it's, you know, like, say Rick gets split up from the rest of the group miles away, and he just lands in a field of zombies. He's surrounded, and that's the end of the issue.
Yeah, and, like, Hilltop and everything is destroyed by the tornado, like, all this civilization that they've been building, it's all destroyed, and he wakes up in this field of death. See, when we can come up with better ideas than what was actually in this issue, that's pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we should talk about real quick the issues leading up to the 100th one, where we left off the guy Jesus, or whatever his name is.
Crazy Jesus.
Oh, crazy, cray-cray Jesus shows up. He's basically a male version of Michonne. And he shows up, he offers this safe haven called Hilltop to the survivors. And they don't trust him at first, so they go to check it out. And while they're there, Rick learns about this fellow, I guess you could call him, named Negan, who runs this group called the Survivors that the Hilltop people have to trade supplies, like give half their supplies to the Survivors in return for protection from the Survivors. So it's basically like a mob thing, you know, you pay the mob to not fuck up your shop and they protect it from other. It's kind of the same thing but with zombies. So they're doing that and one of the Survivors comes to Hilltop and attacks the leader of Hilltop. And then Rick, in self-defense, shoots him, and everyone's like, whoa, what the fuck? Because apparently everyone at Hilltop are a bunch of pussies. So Rick makes a deal with Jesus and the leader that he'll take care of the Negan problem as long as they get 50%, or they split the supplies between the two camps now. So Rick goes back, sets everything up. People are wary about it. And he basically says that it's to take out Negan is for the best of everyone, for the greater good type thing. So they all agree to it, and before they can even start, though, their compound gets attacked by Negan's guys. Rick fights back, kills a bunch of them, and that basically sets up the 100th issue. The 100th issue begins basically with Glenn wanting to leave to go to Hilltop because he finds out that Maggie's pregnant. Before we get into the meat of the issue itself, we could just talk about... My kilt wasn't blown up by the storyline so far. You know what I mean?
Let me interject right here for just a minute. Okay. I wanted to riff off of what you just said. You said the meat of the story. Speaking of meat, let's flash back here to,
okay,
I think it was issue 98.
Okay.
It was. How about that crazy guy, Eugene?
Yeah.
There's a scene where
Eugene
and Abraham, rest in peace.
Yeah, he gets killed in that issue, which was very shocking.
They're off on this trip, which is very not very well thought out. You know, they're going to say, hey, let's make our own bullets, and then let's not take a car. Let's not tell anyone we're going. So immediately you're already kind of like, you know, some shit's going to go down.
Yeah.
And then they run into these guys that are working for Negan. And they immediately, Abraham dead,
yeah,
the dart through the eye routine. Hate to see him go down like that.
Yeah, that was more shocking to me than what happened in issue 100.
Oh, wait, well, the thing that really shocked me, I'm about to get to it, is Eugene grabs his gun. He has like an assault rifle of some sort. Mm-hmm. And he could open fire on the Savior guys.
Yeah.
But instead, he just kind of he's frozen in fear and then eventually gets taken hostage. And then when they go back to the gates of the community that the people are currently living in, they're living with Rick, what does he do? He tries to – well, he doesn't try. He just bites –
He does it.
He bites off a man's penis with his teeth.
Right with his mouth.
And yeah. I just thought that's an amazing like logic. He had a gun, didn't use it, but then when he's on his knees with a gun to his head – bites off a man's penis. Like,
what would you do in that situation?
Through the pants. Like, it's not like he has this hanging out.
More amazing. He has his dick hanging out for no reason. He's got a gun to Eugene's head. His dick is just hanging out.
Right.
That would have been weirder. That actually would make more sense. I wouldn't be surprised if Kirkman wrote something like that now with the way he's going.
Right, well, that kind of leads into issue 100, yeah, is saying, like, it's all shock, you know. And then, of course, when you read it, you know, a beloved character dies in this issue, and this is going to be a giant spoiler if you haven't read it. But
it's – yeah, we're well past the point of that.
Glenn, our favorite Asian character.
Ever.
Yes, dies a very bloody and gory and shocking death here at the hands of Negan and from his bat that he left.
Yeah.
Lucille, the vampire bat. It's all very silly, and it goes right with that scene where, you know, that I just mentioned with Eugene, and it's almost – and we said this when we previously recorded it, and I stand by this statement. It's almost like Walking Dead is going the way of Crossed, where it's just like shock value.
And
not character moments, which is what this series was built on, was characters and, you know, caring about the characters and then them going through horrible things, but not just for the sake of – shock.
I said in the last podcast too, he might as well just beat him to death with the horse cock. It would have been the same equivalent of the stupid ass bat. The dialogue is
a weapon in Frost Universe, if you haven't read that.
Yeah, and just bullets.
You don't. You're not.
Go back to our previous podcast, BreakTheFourthWall.com, look up Crossed, and you'll learn all about that fun book. Here's the thing with the 100th issue. I wanted something big. Like something course altering, something that would change the landscape of The Walking Dead forever, from issue 100 to 200, you know, something huge. But instead, all we get is something very bland and something we've already seen before. You can't top the Governor. I'm sorry. He was already the best human villain you're going to have. And now they're trying to do that, it seems like, but a more crazy version of the Governor. And it doesn't work as well, in my opinion. It just was a huge letdown because I'm like, oh, man, 100 is going to be something great. And it's just so – it's boring now and very predictable because we mentioned this last time. You know, eventually, you know, Rick's going to be down and out for a little while, but then he's going to regain his strength somehow, get the better of him, and kill Negan somehow. Like, it's going to be rinse, wash, repeat. And then we're going to be back where we started with the whole series. So I'm like, I'm not really excited. It doesn't get me excited to read issue 101, if you know what I mean. Like Glenn's death felt so unnecessary and just there for shock value that it was kind of ridiculous.
Right, and they do the thing of, you know, in good storytelling, they say, show and don't tell. And in this, you know, you see Glenn dying, but then they have to not only show you it, but also, like, the guy describes it, Negan, and he's like, I cracked your skull so much that your fucking eye popped out, and it's gross as shit. Like, we can see that it's gross as shit. And I guess that's the kind of the character. He just says things that are completely obvious.
It's kind of, you know what it's like?
Semi-offensive.
It's like the bullies in Toxic Avenger. It's like all of those put into one guy. That's what it's kind of like.
Yeah, he says he's like mildly racist kind of thing. About like, oh, I don't want to have a hate crime and kill the black person or the Asian, you know, things like that. It's all, and he says curses constantly.
I much rather would have had the natural disaster or anything. Anything we suggested would have been better, I think, than this issue. Like, I give credit to Robert Kirkman for making making it to issue 100. Like, that's a huge achievement that is amazing and it's worth celebrating, but I just wish it was a little bit different.
I wonder what Charlie Adlard thought when he got the script for this issue, and he was like, I want you to draw Glenn's, like, brains, like, leaking out of his skull, and he's just like, oh, God. He's like, you know, I'm not Jason Burroughs, okay?
I don't draw this shit. But yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm not really excited for looking forward into The Walking Dead. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I guess somewhere kind of interesting it could go from here would be like Rick will get the jump on Negan, and then maybe Hilltop will be left standing, and then again, something will start from there with Hilltop, and who knows? Another thing that we talked about was possibly like going in the route of Day of the Dead, doing the experiments on zombies. And another really interesting thing I saw someone bring up online was Carl lost part of his brain, and so they've been worried that he's lost his memories. And someone mentioned the possibility of Carl getting bit, but the part of his brain that he lost would make him not able to turn into a zombie.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So then they start trying to figure out and recreate whatever happened to Carl.
Shoot everybody in the head. It's fucking to shoot them in the head.
If I shoot you just right, you'll be fine.
That would have been great.
It would have been a very different direction, but they didn't do that either. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm just disappointed. I just think, do you think the quality of writing has kind of shifted since he did the TV, since the TV show started?
Personally, I do. I would like to see an interview with him. I've never seen anyone ask him, how do you divide your time between the comic and the TV show, since he's one of the main writers on the show now.
Yeah.
They recently came out with from San Diego Comic-Con, the teaser for the season 3 of the TV show, which we talked about briefly on our San Diego Comic-Con podcast. And I don't know if I'm more excited to see that show, which I know I'm sure we'll all eventually watch season 3, or to keep reading the comic. Because really, it's like, I am interested to see how they do the prison storyline from the comic and the TV show, and if how it ends, because we all know how the prison storyline ends. But then as far as 100, it's like, you know, how interesting is it going to be from here? Because when we first started talking about The Walking Dead on this podcast, we were talking about issue like 49 or somewhere right around there. So we've been talking about this series, not every single issue, but on and off for about 50 issues now. Mm-hmm. And for a while, I was only reading the trades, and then I switched over to single issues. And now it almost feels like I should switch back.
Yeah.
That's a really good thing, I don't think.
Like, I'm more excited. I'm not even about the book. I'm more excited about the game. than I am. The game storyline, I just finished episode 2 not too long ago. It's so much better than the TV show and the comic right now. It's ridiculous. And that's kind of sad to say, because the book is what introduced everyone to all of this, you know, the TV show, everything. And now it's sad to see it on. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe Kirkman has such a brilliant idea up his sleeve that he's going to lay it on to us in like 10 issues. You know what I mean?
Last time, too. Like, you know, I mean, if I'm going to speak at work here, how long are we going to give this guy the benefit of the doubt and say, like, okay, well, the past 15 issues have been.
Let's give him 50 more issues. 50 more. And then 50 months from now.
Right.
I don't know. It's just – I'm kind of sad to see it going this way, because I'm like you. I'm kind of almost thinking like maybe I should just wait for trades, because I don't know if I want to invest just single issues anymore, because it used to be at a time every issue of The Walking Dead was really good. We always were excited for the next one, and now all of a sudden it's just kind of like 3-4 issues go by and you're like, all right, whatever. And now that it's going in this direction of the uber-violent, just kind of childlike, gratuitous violence, it's just like, I don't know if it's too appealing for me anymore.
Because like, that was another thing that I loved about The Walking Dead, is like the people in it talked like real people.
Yeah.
And now we're establishing like Jesus talks like a cartoon character, and this Negan guy is very over the top. And like, I mean, I guess they want to put some really different types of personalities, but
yeah,
the combination of both of them being established within like 5 issues is just almost like, okay, I get it. We have these characters that just will not stop talking. Just like, you know, if you open to any random page and you see like all these word balloons for like Negan just going on and on and on.
Yeah, he talks so much and it's all not good.
We pissing our pants yet? Oh boy, do I have a feeling we're getting close. It's going to be pee-pee pants city here real soon. That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, and he called, well, I was done at Lucille. I don't know. I think overall with this issue, I could just say it was nowhere near what I hoped it would be. Because I thought, like I said, it was going to be a game changer. It was just going to change the landscape of the whole, like change the cat, the crew, the characters, or whatever. But none of it happened. It was so boring and predictable. And Glenn's death was not meaningful at all. And it's a shame. It's a shame.
I wonder if Maggie will try to scheme like revenge upon Negan.
Hey, you know what? You probably just figured out the ending. That's it. I bet. Guarantee it. Let's do new bets.
Okay, I guess that's fine. Maggie will somehow maybe like do some type of suicidal thing that she like. Well, she'll die, but she knows she does it. You know, in not. But then the kid would be an orphan, though. So then I don't know.
I bet the kid, or okay, my prediction.
Maybe they'll be like that Asian couple in Lost, where they just let the kid. Remember when they're drowning?
Yeah, that's right. They just let the fucking. They're like, our daughter will be okay. Whatever. Let's just die together. Who cares about our kid?
Right.
She'll figure it out.
Maybe that's what he'll pull a Lost. Because in this issue, I almost forgot to mention, he does the whole eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah.
In selecting his victim to kill, and it ends up being. Oh, I forget his name.
I'm sorry, he was killing. Which one were you talking about? Because I know there's two examples. Who, Glenn?
Yes, he ends up killing Glenn.
And he was doing, when Negan was doing that, he was doing Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo, which was also like
Pulp Fiction, as well as Natural Born Killers, two movies both written by Quentin Tarantino. And so I don't know if maybe Robert Kirkman had been on a Quentin Tarantino kick and watching some of his movies.
Yeah.
Because when I saw that, I immediately thought, what movie is this from? Like, what movie have I seen this in?
Yeah, it's something that you're like, oh, I know I've seen this before.
Yeah, not original. And then the violence immediately reminded me of Crossed and a bad combination, but
that's like not the best combinations. Of
maybe
things.
He'll start watching Lost and rip off the the couple that just dies.
Yeah, my prediction. Well, I think we're all safe in saying. Well, me and you, we're all. There's only both of us here. We're safe in saying that.
And our unspoken third member,
yes.
Who we cannot name.
No, we will be shot on sight if we name him. our overlord. If I'm pretty sure Negan's gonna go. Like, that's gonna happen. Like, I don't know how, but he's gonna go out very brutally. Cause, like, if you kill a character like that, in storytelling, it's just natural that that person's gonna die very violently, in retaliation.
I don't know how much longer I could stand to read this ridiculous dialogue.
It'd be like 10 more issues, or, I bet. So they're going to draw this shit out. It's just to put us through more misery. I think the real genius of Robert Kirkman, he creates this character that's so fucking unlikable that you're just like, God, just kill him. I don't know. Overall, though, issue 100, it's pretty amazing that it made it this far. Congratulations to, you know, Walking Dead itself, Kirkman, Adlard, IDW, all that stuff. All those people, congratulations for making it. It's just a shame. Same.
Ugh. Image. You
said. Image. What did I say? IDW? Oh, shit. No, congratulations to them, too, for other stuff, but not Walking Dead. That is Image.
Yes. When we recorded this the first time,
we were on point the first time.
But this time, yeah, whatever. You get what you get.
Yeah, if you're listening, you know what you're getting anyway. I think we talked about this last time. We were saying how, this is really the only book I've ever read from issue one, steady right to 100. Like, I've read a lot of comic books in my life, but this is the first one I think that I, from beginning to end, I've read from issue one to 100 the whole way without skipping any. And it's just it really sucks seeing it in this state. It's not heartbreaking, but it is not fun, you know?
Another thing that we talked about was the fact that it almost seems like maybe Kirkman is getting the reason he's doing such these over-the-top and ridiculous ideas is are these ideas he's coming up with for the show?
Yeah, this is a good thing.
And then he's like, well, we can't do that in the show, so I'll do all this crazy shit in the comic. And then, you know, the people will kind of, if they want to see the crazy shit, they'll read the comic. And if they want to see the more subdued and down-to-earth version, they'll watch the TV show.
I hope that's not the case, because then it's affecting his creativity again.
Right.
I don't know. Well, if you're a Walking Dead fan, you've already read the book. But if you want to share your opinions with us, what you thought, what you think we might have missed or we should have talked about or whatever, send us an email at contactfourthwall@yahoo.com. You can also find us on Twitter, @4WP.
Yes, sir.
You can also find us on Facebook. You can like us there. Find the Fourth Wall Podcast. You'll see the 4WP logo. And, of course, as always, you can go to the main site, breakthefourthwall.com.
We'll be back in 2022 to talk about issue number 200.
Yep. We will.
Stay tuned.
We'll be a bit older, but maybe more wiser. And maybe
hopefully my voice will sound more like, oh, Robert Kirkman is doing it.
Sounds I don't know what that sounds like.
All these fucking zombies.
I really hope we sound like that.
So look forward to that.
Yes, look forward to that.